Today marks exactly 50 years since Dr. Kwame Nkrumah-led CPP government was ousted in a coup d'etat in 1966. The February 24 coup was the first of its kind in post-colonial Ghana and was carried out while Dr. Kwame Nkrumah was on a state visit to Hanoi, Vietnam. The National Liberation Council, NLC, took over the administration of the country, truncating the laudable policies initiated by Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. Before the coup, there were an upsurge in assassination attempts on Nkrumah's life. At the time, Nkrumah's overthrow was rationalized as an attempt to bring sanity to the world and an attempt to tighten the screws. In April 1972, Nkrumah died in Bucharest, Romania, where he had gone for medical treatment. Since his death, Africa has had a string of colorless figures as leaders. As we observe the day, Amasewa Bediako looks at the 1966 coup and how far Ghana has come as a nation.
The black man is capable of managing his own affairs. We are going to demonstrate to the world, to the other nations, young as we are, that we are prepared to lay our own foundation. As I said in the assembly just minutes ago, I made a point that we are going to see that we create our own African personality and identity.
This is an often repeated voice clip of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah expressing a dream and confidence in the ability of the black man. But this vision was cut short on the 24th of February 1966 when a joint military and police officers staged a successful coup d'etat under Operation Cold Chop. With a stroke of radio announcement, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, revered for founding the OAU, now AU, and helping usher in an era of independence for Africa after centuries of slavery and colonial rule, was suddenly no more. His vision to have Africa unite under a federal government was cut short by the coup. The National Liberation Council administered the country from 1966 to 1969 before handing over power to a civilian government. Colonel Emmanuel Kwashi Kotuka, commander of the 2nd Army Brigade at Kumasi, led the staged coup. Other leaders included Major Ifrifa and Inspector General J.W. Harley. The NLC justified their action by citing gross abuse of power, widespread political repression, rapidly deteriorating economy, and rampant corruption by the CPP. They alleged that Nkrumah's aggressive involvement in African politics at the time affected the morale in camp of the security services. The coup plotters claimed that the action was a nationalistic one because it liberated Ghanaians from dictatorship. With military precision, Colonel Kotuka announced that the myth surrounding Nkrumah was broken when the military took over Broadcasting House.
Fellow citizens of Ghana, I have come to inform you that the armed forces, in cooperation with the police, have taken over the government of Ghana. Parliament is hereby dissolved. The CPP has been disbanded, and it will be illegal for anybody to belong to it. Kwame Nkrumah and all his ministers are dismissed from office. The myth surrounding Kwame Nkrumah has been broken today. I appeal to all civil servants to remain at their posts. Please stay by your radios for detailed information later.
But how did Nkrumah, the man whom Ghanaians had faith in and who worked to modernize the country and improve its economy, fall the way he did? A senior research fellow with the Institute of Democratic Governance, IDEC, Kwesi Jonah, helps us to understand preceding events before the coup and the immediate causes.
First of all, the opposition at that time, the United Party, was made up of various political parties that were based either on one region, one religion, or one ethnic group. A Northern People's Party, which was solely based in the northern part of the country. A National Liberation Movement, which was an Ashanti movement. There was a Togoland Congress, TC, which was just based in the present-day Volta region. And there were other minor groups like Gang Shifumo, which was a Gang movement. So, Kwame Nkrumah passed a law banning all of them in 1957. The name of the law is the Avoidance of Discrimination Act. When this law was passed, all the various ethnic and religious parties got together to form the major opposition called the United Party. Now, from Kwame Nkrumah's perspective, even though they had come together to become a United Party, they had been associated with a number of subversive activities. You remember an attempt to kill Kwame Nkrumah in 1961 at Kolongungu. A bomb went off when Kwame Nkrumah was going to receive a bouquet of flowers from a small girl. Apparently, the bomb had been hidden in the flower, and it went off just before Kwame Nkrumah took it. Therefore, when Kwame Nkrumah officially adopted socialism and became very, very intolerant toward the opposition parties, there wasn't too much sympathy for them. So the country became a one-party state unofficially before officially becoming one-party state. In a democracy, you cannot have other people silenced by the crucial declaration of one-party state in 1994. No, you don't have a democracy when there's only one party that will rule forever. Then second reason, at the same time as the law that banned the opposition parties was passed, another law was passed, the Preventive Detention Act. This Preventive Detention Act was a very repressive law. The Preventive Detention Act allowed the government to detain anybody who, in the opinion of the government, was planning subversive activities against it. It is not acceptable. In a democracy, you can't arrest, detain people without going through due process. But this law allowed the president to do that.
Let me also find out from you, could Nkrumah have prevented the coup?
He could have prevented the coup if Nkrumah had not traveled to Hanoi.
However, president of the Young Pioneers Association and chairman of the CPP, Professor Edmond Dele, debunks allegations that the Preventive Detention Act was a repressive law.
I was the president and founder of the Ghana Young Pioneers. In 1962, in Tamale, we had comrades like Dr. Edward Mama with me, who is now in the political screen. We were not taught these things. In fact, this was just something that people imagined and created. And of course, don't forget that some of the things that he made had some religious influence. And that was probably one of his problems. Because if you see, 6 years has a political kingdom and all others should be added to it. But people have forgotten that Nkrumah too was a theologian. That's one of the studies. He did theology. And he was also partly a biblical scholar. And what you read influences you. So maybe he took some of these things out and some of the supporters used them. Here was the man that people were making use of him all the time. And there was chaos in that country. So what could you do? You have to find a way of solving. We were young, but we knew what happened with CPP and the National Liberation Movement.